forgot to put the video on loop. It's a 13-second video that just clicked off. Oh, awesome. All right, we are live like we are every Friday night, what we have been the last few weeks. So we are rocking and rolling, getting ready to go here, talk some AEW big business. Of course, the debut of Mercedes Moné and some other stuff. Got some stuff going down on Raw. Whole lot of other stuff going on this week. My name is Chris the Heat Matthews, and of course, I'm joined by your other host, the Tennessee Jesus, Carl Crossland. We should have someone else on here in a couple minutes. Kind of popped on and then disappeared. But yeah, but let's get it rolling here. Carl, how the hell are you this week?
I'm doing all right, man. I went and visited our boy in the hospital. He's trying to make a recovery. We got a visit from Mr. Sacco.
And the clown, what was the name of the clown? It was like Periwinkle or something.
I don't know. I just did Mr. Sacco. I couldn't. Yeah, Garrett's in a bunch of cast, man. It's pretty bad. Like I would say, don't try this at home.
Yep.
Leave it up to professionals. But he didn't, so there you go.
He was watching too many of those superhuman videos.
Yeah.
He did it for all the juggalos and the juggalettes.
I think it might have been like Darby Allin or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know who the bad influence in his life is, but it's somebody.
It's one of those. So eventually he'll get it figured out. Just like we got this figured out, the random band entrance theme of the week. Fuck's sake. And of course, the random band this week was Aha. I probably forgot something there. I didn't put the video on, that. But the music's on loop.
Yeah. You forgot the hyphen in Aha, or whatever it's called.
That's all right. They got it figured out. Oh, awesome. All right. I just stuck with the one hit that they had. So I figured Take On Me, it's their most iconic song, and it's the only song people know. And, you know, I'm all about that fan interaction on the entrance seats. So figured why not have the crowd sing Take On Me with me. So.
Yeah. Definitely ain't gonna know my song. I don't want you to take on me. So let me listen through some stuff, and I'm just like, oh, this is all garbage. No wonder they only had that one. I went with a ballad, with Crying in the Rain.
All right.
Not to be confused with November Rain or anything like that, but this is Crying in the Rain.
Crying in the Rain. Awesome. Good stuff there. What do we got for next week?
Next week, it should be a little bit better. We got the Doobie Brothers. So we're going to be Brothers. Like some, we're going to be like some Deep South territory wrestlers.
Oh, man. We got Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah.
All right, that should be a fun one next week. The Doobie Brothers. Awesome. All right, well, that's going to bring us into the instant replay. Let's hop over to that. And, of course, oh, no, not the instant replay.
Oh, no, fucked it up. Start over.
Getting ahead of myself. And the thing is, I have the music in order of the segments on here. So. Oh, man. All right. It's the Elite Figure of the Week, which, of course, is brought to you by Entertainment Earth. Go ahead and use the code FTCollect and get 10% off all your in-stock orders on entertainmentearth.com. And the elite figure of the week this week is the Elite Series 2, Matt Hardy. When he went and had that little singles run there when they split him and Jeff up the first time.
That looked like Matt Hardy.
Yeah, it's one of the the face sculpts weren't like as good as they are now with a lot of the figures. Mm-hmm. Like some of them like looked really good. Some of them were like okay, like this is more of one of the like okay ones. But like overall it's a pretty solid figure, like with the it's got like the because like the whole thing, his whole thing was like unlock your destiny. And he had like the key on the side of his tights and stuff. And, like the Matt Hardy logo was supposed to look like a key. So
what this is Matt Hardy version like 1.6 or something.
All right. Yeah, because this was the second time that they split them when they actually went on to have that feud with Jeff where he was talking about, you know, I burnt down your house and killed your dog and here's your dog collar type thing. So what not a very good feud between the two of them. The storyline kind of sucked too, but the figure was pretty cool. So. And then another one with the pinkish, purplish tights or whatever it was.
I do like the jacket, man.
Yeah, the jacket looks really good, especially on the figure. I got this one on my shelf. So it's actually, I think this one and I think the broken Matt Hardy are probably my two of my favorite Matt Hardy figures I've got. Just the uniqueness of them. It's pretty cool. All right. So now we're into the instant replay. There we go. And of course, the instant replay is brought to you by Dubby. So hit up Dubby.gg to order your hydration drink mixes and your energy drink mix. And use the code WrestleGeddon at checkout. Save an additional 10% off your order. Let's get into it here.
Why snort coke when you can drink Debbie? That's what I always say.
All right, so we're gonna kick it off here with instant replay. I've got a bunch of news tidbits that we're calling the count out, which is basically gonna be wrestling related news, but not directly related to specific companies. So just kind of like more one piece, like one-off news things like John Cena at the Academy Awards.
Been working out.
Yeah. Which apparently we discovered we can in fact see John Cena. So I saw a couple of the clips from this. It was a pretty funny interaction. So I will say Cena's pretty funny and he's going out of his way to do like a whole lot of stuff to promote this Ricky Stenicki movie.
So. Yeah, and I must say, man, I can't stop beating off of this photo, dude. It's everything you want in a photo.
I mean, it's John Cena's a good looking dude. Like, I'll give him that.
Yep, he's got the little Ken marks. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. He's like a Ken doll. Oh, that's crazy. So, I'll have to watch this Ricky Stenicki movie. It actually looks pretty funny.
Yeah, I like one of the guys in it, Andrew Santino. Usually watch he has like a podcast with Bobby Lee. They're pretty funny.
Okay.
Bobby Lee from Saturday Night Live. I mean, not Saturday Night Live, but Mad TV.
Oh yeah, they're on the show. I remember I saw a clip from that. Cena was on there. And
was he? Okay.
And, yeah. He's like, I could have been in the movie. He's like, I could have been one of the three friends. And they're like, well, which one would you have played? He's like, I could have played his role, talking about the black dude that was in there. And he's like, did the role specifically say black guy? And they're like, no. He's like, well, here you go. He's like, I could have been the minority friend.
Yeah, Bobby Lee's pretty funny. Him and Andrew Santino are pretty funny guys.
That's pretty good. So, yeah. So, I got to check out this Ricky Stenicki movie at some point. I think my wife wants to watch it, too. But there's a clip too from that movie where Cena's doing like this lounge singer act and he's dressed up like the guys from Devo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, when a boner comes along, you must grip it.
John Cena, he's pretty funny.
He is. Also got to watch Peacemaker. I heard that was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So we go from John Cena. Well, I don't have anything. I couldn't find a freaking picture of Britt Baker. But she apparently was having the time of her life in Pittsburgh at a Zach Bryan concert. She actually got pulled up on stage and was singing with him. So,
who's Zach Bryan?
Some country singer.
I mean, I know he's a country singer, but I'm trying to think of, like, does he have, like, any songs?
Like that I would know.
Zach Bryan? You mean Zach Bryan? Is it his name Bryan?
Yeah, it was Zach Bryan.
Okay. Nothing good, I guess.
I don't remember what song she was singing with him.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Heading South. Heading South was the song she was singing with him.
Oh, that one sound good.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got something called Something in the Orange. Revival. Oklahoma
City. Oh, yeah, he don't sound like he's very good. So,
yeah,
no wonder he was able to get on stage with him. Yeah. he was the biggest celebrity there.
Yeah, it was. I think her and someone from the Steelers was on stage with him. So, it's like, all right, okay. So, having some fun there. Enjoy yourself. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, pop over this slide next here. Britt Baker and Miro split after 7 years.
Britt Baker and Miro.
CJ Pierce.
Damn. You're getting breaking news right here, buddy. Cost and Fire, damn it. We got all the story.
Damn.
Fucking Miro sleeping with Britt Baker.
Man. So, CJ Perry and Miro have split after 7 years of marriage. CJ Perry had made a statement about it. She says, you know, it was a mutual thing and she's still looking to continue a relationship as friends and still working together on projects with AEW. I was kind of wondering if there's something going on here because CJ Perry has posted a lot of pictures recently with her and Damian Priest. So, I don't know if Lana just loves DP or what, but.
I mean, I don't know. You know, all you hear is like, rumors and stuff. So, I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. Like, I don't know, 7 years in like a wrestling relationship is pretty long, I guess.
Yeah.
There's
not much to compare it to unless you're looking at, like, you definitely can't compare it to a Ric Flair marriage.
Well, I mean, Ric Flair, I don't know how long he's been married, like, what, 4 times now?
Yeah.
At least 30, something like that. But he's, like, in the wrestling business, like, you know, Macho Man Elizabeth. Trying to think of other, like, popular.
Well, I guess you can go with, like Jimmy and Naomi, they've been married for quite some time now. Like, I don't remember exactly how long it is, but Seth and Becky have only been married like maybe 4 or 5 years, a little less than that.
Yeah.
Probably the most successful one I can think of right now is Miz and Maryse.
Yeah, but I think they're swingers, though. So I don't know if that counts.
Miz and Maryse?
Yeah, they're swingers, dude. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe like Chris Candido and Sunny, maybe.
Yeah.
Like he was in love with her, but she wasn't in love with him.
Yeah, she just
looked at her. Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. Apparently, Miro has moved back to Bulgaria with his family for now, I guess, trying to taking some time to deal with this. I guess he was pretty broken up about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But then it wasn't mutual. It was fucking one-sided.
Yeah, I mean, that's what she said. She said it was a mutual thing. So yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, fuck, like, I mean, if my wife divorced me, I don't know if I'd go to Bulgaria or wherever.
I'd be like, fuck you, bitch.
I don't know if I'd be like, fuck you, but. But me and my wife's been together a while. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary, so.
Yeah, I mean, what's yours, 15 for us? No.
Yeah. I mean, we've been together 17 years, but married 10, so.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Yeah, because we were together 2 years before we got married, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around there.
So if you need marriage advice, wrestlers, reach out to me and Chris. Not only do we write better wrestling than you guys, we're also better at relationships and can give you some advice.
Oh, man, awesome.
Why duck right, it before you stick it?
Oh, there we go. I forgot to move this, but we'll talk about it now. Bailey apparently wants Paramore to do her music at WrestleMania. She's been pushing pretty hard with WWE brass about it. So I'd be for that. I wouldn't mind. I like Paramore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Paramore. They're okay. I mean, if she wants them there, I guess. Yeah. I'm not going to be like, oh, no. As long as they don't do like a fucking like mini concert like they did that 1 year with that whoever that dude was. Like, that was dumb.
Oh, the freaking, what was his last name? Hardy something?
Yeah, it's Tom Hardy. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not Tom Hardy. It was something else. Yeah, that guy sucked. I think it was just Hardy, I think was the name.
Oh, yeah, I think it was just Hardy. Because I remember I was making jokes about it. Like, was he like one of the Hardy boys or something?
Yeah, Hardy. Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah. It just sounded like shit. Like, they made us go sit through all this for what? No fucking reason. Oh, man. All right, what else we got here? Okay, this is what I thought was next. Ultra Pro Wrestling is apparently a new wrestling game from a UK publisher. They happened to pop up on my Instagram feed as, like, a sponsored thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, so what's this about? So I did some digging, some research on this to see their, let me pop that up. Let me bring up the website.
So it's a game.
Yeah, so it's a video game. So it's got, let me go to.
Is that John Cena?
No, it's, let me put this in the other screen here. So
it's like John Cena and like,
it almost
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It almost looks like NBA to me.
Oh, his yeah, maybe.
Blue Collar Dollar Bill. So they have all these original guys, which is cool. And a lot of this artwork is done by artist named Hal Hanley, or Hal Haney, who does a lot of cool artwork. He's done like the split photos of like Hogan and Macho Man, or Hogan, where it's like NWO Hogan, like half the face, and the other face is like red and yellow, like 80s Hogan. So it looks really cool. And he's done like one with Macho Man where it's like Madness, NWO Savage, and like regular like 80s Savage. So, but there's like a lot of these guys look pretty cool. Like some of them obviously have like inspiration from other wrestlers, like this guy named Big Wooly. Obvious kind of looks like Tyrus. So, they got a lot of cool stuff in here, but I was checking this out, and I was like, okay, so they had DLC, which they have under here as free agents. So I was looking at this DLC roster, and this may have sold me on this game when it comes out.
You get the Blue Mini, Adam Bomb,
Brian Clark. So you get two versions of Brian Clark. You get him as Brian Clark, and you get him as Wrath. Three versions, actually. Mm-hmm. So we got Adam Bomb. Chris Candido. Arn Anderson, Crusher Khrushchev, Smash and Axe, The Masked Superstar, Tito Santana, D-Von, Al Snow, Jake the Snake Roberts, Gangrel, Francine, Dynamite Kid, Hayabusa, Glacier, Mr. Wonderful, Louis Spicoli, Nova, Sandman, Canyon, and Mortis. That right there was like a huge selling point for me. Because like, when's the last time we haven't had Canyon or Mortis in a game since like the old WCW games, like officially in the game. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Matt Cardona, Buff Bagwell, Hall of Famer this year, Bull Nakano, and Warhorse.
How the hell did Atom Bomb make the fucking list?
Brian Clark, man. So you sign Brian Clark, you get the three personas, Wrath, Brian Clark, and Atom Bomb. And I think the Brian Clark is in the almost looks like the Chronic gear, because he wore like the sunglasses and stuff with Chronic. So.
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty cool. Like, and the graphics look like the old, like, I'm trying to see if there's any, like, with the picture up here in the corner, it kind of looks like kind of a mix between Fire Pro Wrestling games and like some of the older like Nintendo 64 games with more polished graphics.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of puts you in mind of like WCW versus the World a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm kind of
like way good, way right? better graphics.
Yeah. Let me skip forward to this a little bit more. So I mean, the graphics look pretty solid. Like, it looks a lot better than the AEW game. Like, I will say that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, even like the entrance is simple. It's kind of like a throwback to the old New Generation arena entrance. Like, is with that.
And are we sure that these wrestlers like are original and not like people in like England, like at some promotion or something?
I think these they have to be original characters.
Like, I mean, it could be some kind of English wrestlers that we've never heard of.
I mean, it could be too, but like this dollar bill guy, like, really looks like Magnum TA, like right down to the boots too. Like, it's just insane. And then the other guy they got on here could be like a like, I'm not even
sure. I like the red, white, and blue ropes.
Yeah, it's got that nice throwback to old like WWF.
And then it's got like the ropes are a little bit more loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like a mix between the Patriot and Rey Mysterio. Bruno Barbosa. The character models look great. Like, this would be, I would buy this game. Looks like it'd be a fun game to play.
Yeah.
I don't think we got any of the... Oh, there we go. There's some of the DLC content. We got Matt Cardona.
Of course it'd be fucking Matt Cardona.
Excuse me. I mean, that character model looks pretty good.
Yeah, no, I like it. For sure.
That's okay. So that's the only one they put in there was. Oh, we're going to show.
Oh, Chris Candino. Oh, has Chris Candino ever been in the game? I don't think so.
I think he was in one of the ECW games, wasn't he?
I don't think so. I had the ECW games. I don't remember playing as Chris Candino. He could have been in there, though, and I just never picked him, but.
Yeah,
I don't think
that came across that, and I thought like that looks pretty cool. So, a solid roster on there. So.
Yeah,
awesome. So, Oh shit, my slideshow. Man.
What did you close out of your slides?
Yeah.
Damn it, Chris.
I hit the wrong button.
We're in the need of a production manager, producer,
maybe. Oh, awesome. All right, let's get into some WWE news. We had the couple more names announced for the Hall of Fame with Thunderbolt Patterson and Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I didn't know Thunderbolt Patterson.
I didn't either.
Like, didn't.
Actually had to, I saw a little snippet with him. Who was mentioned? I can't remember who brought his name up.
Is he on Peacock or did any of the stuff or I'm guessing like he's like an old WWF guy.
Oh, was, from like Booker T. Booker T brought him up on his podcast. Okay. He started wrestling. Okay, so his ring names were K.O. Patterson, Sweet Daddy Brown, Thunderbolt Patterson, and T-Bolt. Debuted in 1964, retired in
1994.
Held the Florida version of the NWA Brass Knuckles Championship, feuded with Jose Lothario, of course, which we know is one of Shawn Michaels' trainers. So NWA Florida won the NWA Florida Heavyweight Championship from Bruiser Brody in 77. He's had a pretty
solid. Any Memphis stuff like CWA?
A lot of it is NWA.
Florida and North Carolina, probably.
Yeah, mostly out of Florida. Championship Wrestling from Florida, Continental Wrestling Association, George Tragos, Luthez, Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. Okay, so he's in Hall of Fame 2019. Georgia Championship Wrestling, Maple Leaf, Mid-Atlantic. Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champion with Jerry Briscoe. We've got NWA Big Time Wrestling, Tag Team Champion with Wahoo McDaniel, Toru Tanaka, and Johnny Valentine. NWA Tri-State, Western State Sports, World Wrestling Association. So really nothing. At least no championships or anything from like WWE, but I don't see like career-wise, I don't see any mention of WWE. It's just mostly NWA. But he was blacklisted by NWA in the early 70s for repeated appearances with independent promotions. His complaint of institutional racism attempts to form a wrestler's labor union is what got him blacklisted. And Dusty Rhodes was the one that got it lifted.
Okay. I definitely could see that being a big thing with wrestling back in those days. A lot of racial stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about someone, too, that wasn't, like, during that time frame, you know, the same with Junkyard Dog, wasn't allowed to stay in, like, the hotel within the same town. As they were performing in, or had to be brought in through the back door instead of, you know, coming in through the front entrance in some of those towns. So. But yeah. insanely popular, according to what Booker T was saying on the podcast. So worked his way up to like a main event status and everything. So,
I just never heard of him. That's why, like, usually seldom do like is like a wrestler coming up. I don't get me wrong. There's a lot of old wrestlers that like. I didn't watch, like, I've watched tape of and stuff, but this guy, like, when his name was mentioned, I was like, oh, I never heard of him. Not that it's, you know, a slight against him, but I haven't heard of him, like, because who am I, but
yeah.
you know. But yeah, I might have to check some other stuff out if it's on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I'll have to definitely look into that too. So, and then of course, we know the history of Muhammad Ali with wrestling. You know, referee a couple times for WWE, WCW. So, I'm pretty psyched to have him in there. So. And of course, his boxing career as well. So, congrats to Thunderbolt Patterson and Muhammad Ali for their Hall of Fame inductions. I think those are the only two names announced this week. I know they did.
So far we got five.
Yeah, five. There's usually one more, right? Or two more.
Yeah, I won't say there's usually like six or maybe even seven.
Usually they
do kind of like a semi like current wrestler. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, like yeah, like the Undertaker or something like that. So I wonder if there's, you know.
Well, I mean, we got Paul Heyman. So that would be someone that's, you know, currently on TV. We have our wrestler with Bull Nakano.
Yeah. Well, then we got six then, because then we got the tag team.
Tag team, US Express.
Express.
Muhammad Ali. And then these two. Thunderbolt Patterson.
The celebrity. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's.
Maybe it's the whole class.
I think so. The only thing they haven't done is the unless they're not doing the Warrior Award this year, but
yeah, I'm just saying usually it's like somebody like you know pretty close to just retiring or something, like Steve Austin or something. Yep.
So pretty solid class this year. I believe Bully Ray was making a case for Victoria. As to why she needs to be put in the Hall of Fame. And the big Victoria fan, 100% agree with them. She should have been put in there a while ago. So,
yeah, she's definitely Hall of Fame worthy.
I mean, if you're going to put Coco Beware in there, then why can't Victoria be in the Hall of Fame?
There's a lot of people got that fight in the Coco Beware, man. He was a good wrestler. Tori Wilson, she may not have been the best wrestler, but she was good looking.
The Bella Twins.
The Bella Twins probably don't deserve to be in there. But.
Oh, man, awesome. All right. The other thing we got here, where is... I think my next one is the... Okay, I got a couple things mixed up in order here. Yeah, it was announced last week on SmackDown, the Logan Paul and Prime sponsorship with WWE. Prime is the first sponsor to have middle-of-the-ring sponsorship with WWE, which would be on all PLEs starting at WrestleMania. So we'll get to see a giant Prime bottle in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania.
So. Great.
I think it pairs well with Logan Paul's character in WWE. Like, it really can't say too much about it. I mean, it's their company. What they want to do with sponsors is on them. So,
yeah. It puts me in mind of, I think, like, Denton Boxing at one point used to have, like, little, like, advertisers on the mats and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Impact has them in the corners, like, underneath the ring ropes and stuff, but... I think they've had like maybe one or two in the center of the ring, but WWE, like aside from having like a logo, has never had a sponsor in the center of the ring before. So it's kind of like an odd thing to see when you see it the first time, but you're not used to seeing it on WWE programming. We'll see where they go. I mean, it worked. One of the other, Tommy Paradise on the, run-in podcast, this kid was watching SmackDown. They were in the store the next day and saw the new, I think that's the Cherry Freeze Prime, saw it on the thing. He's like, oh man, that's the bottle they had in the center of the ring at SmackDown last night. So
yeah,
So it works.
Yeah.
Pretty solid there. All right. So the next one I've got is the Dreadmere. Latest video from Dreadmere. This one, you can tell by the thumbnail for the actual video. They were pushing.
Hey, Debbie.
Yeah. So Bo Dallas is mentioning quite a bit a female in this video up until then. You get towards like the end of the video, and then you see flashes of the female that he was talking about, which is Alexa Bliss. Which we all know that she's close to coming back anyway, after having her baby and everything, and you know, cleared to return to in-ring competition. So I'm thinking we get the return of Alexa after WrestleMania.
Like that after Raw, WrestleMania?
That Raw after WrestleMania. Because he did the he hyped the return of Spears on NXT. That video came out probably a good 2 to 3 weeks before he actually debuted or returned on NXT. So I mean, and like the whole thing with the Dreadmere stuff is he's talking about like they've gone like a different route instead of having like one big stable. Like they'll still be a stable, but they'll be across, you know, all the brands in WWE. So between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT.
Okay.
So this could be maybe one or two members show up on Raw or something, or you get like two on SmackDown or whatever. But I'm excited for the return of Alexa Bliss anyway.
Yeah.
If it's in this capacity, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah, my son enjoyed creepy Alexa Bliss.
Now, hopefully they bring back creepy Alexa Bliss. I hope they go with that. But like maybe like a little bit of a twist on it without like the Lily doll, or you know, making her look like a 12-year-old girl on a swing set. Oh well. All right. Intercontinental number one contenders gauntlet match. How are we feeling about that one?
I predicted it, so I mean, I guess like yeah, I'm right. But it's one of those things where like I wish I was wrong.
Yeah. It was the gauntlet match itself was good.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially
yeah, yeah.
The with Ricochet and who the fuck he kicked the match off with? It was Ricochet and. Fuck. Why am I drawing such a blank on this? You know, people are probably like screaming at us right now. It's this person.
I don't think nobody's screaming.
Yeah, not really. I missed a comment from Tom from the Fig Cave at 9:30. I didn't even see that pop up there, so my apologies.
What do you say? Up. Y'all suck.
Nah, it just says it says sup, fellas. Uh-huh. Oh, fucking hell. Why can I not remember who the fuck was in that match?
Fucking fired, dude.
I know, right?
Sensei Nakamura.
Oh, it was
Sami Zayn.
It was Ricochet and Nakamura.
Ricochet.
Let's do that.
And now I'm drawing a fucking blank.
Damn it, Chris. Bronson Reed. I know Reed was the second one out.
Bronson Reed and
technically the third one. Because fucking hell, I think it was Nakamura. I think it was Ricochet and Shinsuke that started the match off. I'm trying to find the damn Raw results.
Well, anyways, fucking Sami Zayn won. So we're getting Sami Zayn versus Gunther, which I don't really care to see. If fucking Sami Zayn wins, I'm gonna be pissed. But I don't think he's gonna win.
Oh, fuck a duck. Yeah, I can't remember who started off, but
Chad Gable.
Well, Gable
that's
was
the other guy.
Gable
I'm just saying, like, everybody in the match, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was turning in everybody in the match.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Ricochet and Nakamura that kicked the match off, because then it was Ricochet and Bronson. And then Gable. Then it was Gable. And then Sammy was the last one in the match, if I remember correctly.
I think they should have went with Gable. I know that Sami Zayn was hot last year, but yeah, I'm not that excited for him.
And that's a lot of the consensus too, is it should have been Chad Gable. And the biggest thing with me with that is Gable, they've been building the story up with him and Gunther, that it makes sense to have him go into that match at WrestleMania for the IC title and be the one to take the title off of Gunther. But
you don't have to take it off of him, but like, just at least have the match, like, way more interest in it.
But I would like to see, Gable, you know, take the title off of Gunther. I think he's already crushed Honky Tonk Man's record. And this would be a good way to transition him to that main event spot too. Have him go up whoever comes out with, you know, the World Heavyweight Championship, which is going to end up being Damian Priest anyway, because he's going to cash in.
Think so?
I think so. One of those two nights, Priest is going to cash in.
I think he cashes in on Roman after the Cody match.
I don't think he's going to cash in on Roman. I think he's going to cash in the Seth McIntyre match. I really think that Drew is going to end up winning over Seth, and I think Damian's going to cash in on Drew for all those times that Damian's trying to cash in on. Every time that Damian has tried to cash in on Seth, and Drew has stopped him from doing it.
But I mean, Damian is still trying to be like somewhat heel, right?
Yeah, somewhat.
And McIntyre is a heel, so I don't know. I mean, they could do that. I think maybe that's more a way they can, you know, Cody doesn't win the title by, you know, maybe like halfway through the match, fucking Damian cashes in, and then Roman pins him.
Or Cody pins Damian and Roman still goes. I don't know. It's kind of hard to predict what's going to happen there. What else we have? We've got they set up the tag team 6-pack ladder match for Mania. Qualifiers start tonight on SmackDown. But they announced some qualifying matches for Raw next week, which will see the New Day take on the Alpha Academy members, Otis and Akira Tozawa, DIY versus the Creed Brothers, and Miz and R-Truth taking on Indus Sheer. I don't remember who it's supposed to be on tonight. Go back to that.
We say 6-pack. Does that mean there's like 6 wrestlers or 3 tag teams?
6 tag teams.
6 tag teams.
Yep. So you'll have the Judgment Day plus the winners of those 3 matches and whoever qualifies on SmackDown. We had LWO versus Legado del Fantasma on SmackDown tonight. Legado del Fantasma won. So it looks like the... So Umberto and Angel Garza will be going into that match.
Okay.
So I can't complain about that one.
So Miz and R-Truth wins the titles off the Judgment Day?
It makes sense for me to see that happen. So that's the only match I've had so far on SmackDown was that one. So I'm not sure who the other tag team matches for tonight.
Yeah.
The U.S. title is going to be defended in a triple threat match.
Okay.
Austin Theory.
So no Randy Orton.
No, Randy Orton and Kevin Owens will take on Logan Paul in a triple threat match for the U.S. title.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. That should be fun. Cool. What else we've got? Got that. Oh, the did you see the thing with Candace and Maxine?
I did not.
Okay. So they had a tag match. It was Maxine and Ivy Nile taking on Candace and Indy Hartwell.
Mm-hmm.
So last weekend, Maxine was getting booed at a house show. The fans, you know, were chanting like "you can't wrestle" and all this other stuff to her and telling her to go away and all that other crap. So WWE, you know, they've been leaning into stuff like that, like especially like Nia Jax, you know, incorporating that into her story where, you know, the fans, like, she always injures people and everything like that. So they started to incorporate this into a story with Candace and Maxine. Candace was doing the reverse caterpillar that she does. And Candace stopped her and, like, backed her up into the corner. She's like, "What are you doing? You don't belong here. Nobody likes you. Leave. Just go." And just started, like, ripping into her. And then, which caused Maxine to get, like, visibly upset. And she got rolled up for the pin by Indy. So Candace and Indy ended up winning the match. But they're leaning into that whole thing from the crowd chanting, you know, chanting against Maxine. So they're bringing that into the story arc with her and Candace. Good on their part for taking advantage of that. Pretty much got it all set for Jimmy and Jay for WrestleMania.
Yeah. Which I thought was already a given, but I guess like they had to make it like official. Yeah,
not wasn't official yet. So but official. So I believe tonight I think it's gonna be made official though. What else we got here? I think that's pretty much it. SummerSlam was announced this year. Will be taking place in Cleveland on August 3rd. Premier. And I think that's the bulk of it. We'll talk some big business.
Big business. Like right after a pay-per-view, you have a fucking premium.
Yep. A pay-per-view where, you know, one of the biggest stars in Japan debuts for your company, and then you go ahead and debut another wrestler a week later. Oh man. So with this, of course, obviously the big news coming out of this was the debut of Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, showing up at AEW. She kicked off the show. Then made an appearance later in the night, saving Willow from a beatdown by Sky Blue and Julia Hart, which is odd because it should have been Statlander that made the save for that and not Mercedes. But
yeah, I don't know. I was a little disappointed. Like, Mercedes, like, opened the show by giving a fucking retirement speech or something, it felt like.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like one of those things where it was like so bad that I was like thinking that somebody was going to dump her or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this is like a pretty bad promo. Like, somebody's got to be jumping in, right?
Yeah, that's what I was expecting, was like someone to come out and say, you know, and like get in her face and, you know, kick off a program with her. But no, we didn't get that.
And that's it was pretty, pretty dry promo. And don't get me wrong, like, she's like one of my favorite wrestlers, so it hurts me to say that. But it wasn't a good promo. Like, you're a wrestler, come out, like, cost me a bitch or a whore or something, you know, like, call out somebody. And, yeah, do something. It is, like I said, it felt like some kind of like retirement speech that she was giving. And then another thing, like, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But I just don't know the whole like CEO thing, like, because we know she's not the CEO, and then you kind of have like the elite. I mean, I know they can't call her a boss, but you could have went like, you know, I don't know, like, you could have went with like Lavish or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
in all honesty, they should have had her come out. And she should have been, she's like, I'm the new CEO of the women's division. She should have went, like, yeah, she's going to get that face reaction regardless when she came out. But they could have flipped that so big and had her go heel with this whole CEO thing and have her align herself with the elite.
I mean, they could have had her align herself with the elite. But still, like I said, the whole CEO gimmick, I have to see how it plays out, but I would just chose like wording different, because it's like it just don't make sense with like having the elite there that actually, you know, pass fines and stuff.
Yeah, you got the EVPs and the CEO. Like,
yeah, and we know Tony Khan's the CEO, so it don't really make sense.
I just, like I said, if they're gonna, the music sucks too. Like, sorry.
Yeah. And like, nothing was like. Another thing that was funny.
It's a techno remix of like the Imperium theme with CEO put in there, but the CEO was so offbeat, it's ridiculous.
I didn't catch the CEO like come up on the screen. Because like I was sitting there and I was wondering why the crowd was chanting. When I first like heard it, I thought they were chanting like she's a hoe. And then I'm like, no, they're saying CEO. I'm like, okay. That makes sense.
The music is just cringe. The CEO thing, like, in the music is cringe. Like, you really, with all this money that Tony Khan has, like, he couldn't be like, hey, you think we can get your cousin to do your entrance song for us again?
Yeah.
Like, we couldn't get that, so at least she has something better.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it was just overall underwhelming. But I hope it gets better. Like, you know, I love her. She's one of my favorite like women wrestlers.
I like Mercedes too. Like, it's just, this was like, it's like you said, it was underwhelming. Even ratings wise, 801,000 for the week. I mean, it was up from the previous week, but it's still, I don't think that's what they were expecting with her debut.
I wasn't expecting like a huge number.
I was at least hoping they were going to hit like 9.
Yeah. So
at least something bigger than what they have been getting. But if they came out and said, hey, Mercedes Moné makes her debut at Big Business in Boston, instead of just leaving it implied that she's going to show up, if they actually said Mercedes will be in the building next week,
I bet. And booked a match.
Yeah, and I bet you those numbers would have been huge if they actually said that she was going to be there, instead of us, you know, having to figure it out for ourselves. So, and that's like we said, AEW is not good at advertising. Sorry,
or promoting. Yeah.
And another thing they're not good at too, which, you know, kind of on that aspect here, someone showed the merch tables at Revolution
merch table.
Yeah, the merch table from Revolution, from the pay-per-view. So it took a video of the merch table.
Okay.
There were 3 shirts for actual wrestlers out of the 8 shirts that they had, and the other five were AEW logo shirts. So, yeah, and you go to a WWE show, how many shirts there have a WWE logo, just that on the shirt? Maybe one? And then there's like 15 different wrestler shirts there amongst other merchandise.
So. Yeah. I mean, I can understand. I can understand that. They're just trying to get their name out there. Because you remember like in the late 90s, it was cool to have like an ECW shirt.
Yeah. But even in that same aspect too, like if I'm going to go to a show, like I want to get, you know, a shirt from a show for, you know, one of my favorite wrestlers. So if I go to an AEW show, I want, you know, an Acclaimed Scissor Me shirt. Why can't I get that? Why do I have to?
I'm sure they had to have that, right?
No, they didn't.
Nope. They didn't have a Scissor Me Daddy
shirt? Nope. No, I can't remember. They had a Sting shirt.
A Sting shirt?
Yep, a Sting shirt, because it was the pay-per-view. It was a Sting shirt, I think a Darby Allin shirt, and I can't remember what the third one was. But
They had to have like at least like three Sting shirts, because I remember when I was watching the pay-per-view, there were like three different Sting shirts that were like a lot of people had. So like, I figured they had to at least have like three different Sting shirts, right?
Yeah, nothing at the merch table, though. Yeah. I mean, that's probably stuff they ordered before the show through the AEW shop or Pro Wrestling Tees.
Okay.
Like, AEW's terrible at advertising and terrible at merchandise. It's like, and those, like, advertising brings people into the arena, so your ticket sales right there. And then the make extra money.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they got the wrong people. Because wasn't one of the, like, wasn't somebody new doing merch and stuff for AEW or something?
I think it was one of the Bucks' wife that was doing those, had like merchandising or something.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's like, maybe they do need.
But that same aspect too, like lean into these guys, like the former WWE guys for the stuff. Like they know about merchandising. Like,
I mean, they know, like, because, like, WWE sold their merch, but I don't think any of them are, like, the masterminds behind.
Well, you can't tell me, like, Jericho doesn't know anything about merchandising. Having a band that he has merch for. Or like, ways to do that. Like, you can't tell me you can't lean into someone like that that has, like, the business mind for it. You know, or even Danhausen. Look at Danhausen. Like, lean on these guys that can do that stuff. So. Yeah, so that was a couple of the things there. I kind of got a little off track on that. But overall, Big Business, I didn't think it was too bad.
I didn't watch all of it. I'm trying to remember where I quit watching. I did. I want to say I think I quit watching after the Darby Jay White. Match.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was towards the end of the show, or in the middle of the show.
Because after that, I was like, yeah, I'm not really interested in the fucking main event.
I don't understand. Like, after watching the show, I understand why they did Willow and Riho as the main event, because you know they brought Sasha back out or Mercedes back out to make the save for Willow,
which is kind of,
I don't understand which should have been Statlander.
Which is kind of stupid. It's like, that's even if you're going to bring Mercedes back out, like it shouldn't have been the fucking main event. You two either went with Samoa Joe and Warlow or Darby and Jay White. That should have been the main event, and you probably would have got people watching the show like instead of like I did, and like, I'd rather just go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, there's no slight against Willow, like 100% slight against Riho, because I can't stand Riho. But, you know, I love Willow. She's a great wrestler. The match was actually pretty good, but I don't think, like, that should have been the main event, like you said. Jay White and Darby Allin, the way that they left that match, should have been the main event.
The only other thing too is like fucking Warlow should have won the match. I wish I would have picked him for the bad thing of the, because this is like, what do you like? You had him fucking win the fucking Meat Fest or whatever the hell it was called.
And he gets the title shot.
And then it's like, gets a title shot. But then, like, he knew he wasn't going to win it. And then I'm like, oh, no, maybe he is going to win it. And they're just trying to, you know, fuck around with me. But then it's like, nope, he doesn't win it. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's Tony Khan's got something against big guys. Like the big muscle guys, because they don't get like pushes. Like the last time Cage got a push, what, he had the FTW title or the TNT title? No, FTW title. Mm-hmm. And then Wardlow had the TNT title for a little bit. And then we never saw him like get a return match for that title. So, like, I don't know what the deal is with this at all, because it's not like they're bad wrestlers. Like, Cage can fucking go. Like, he does half the shit like your little guys can do. And you know, it's impressive to see a dude his size do that stuff. So showcase him more. You know, Wardlow can be a powerhouse, like, but instead you put him in a group with a bunch of your smaller guys for what?
Yeah,
like Wardlow should be on his own.
And I think Wardlow and Swerve could have had a pretty good card. The only thing too, I kind of didn't get on the show too is why you have Pac coming back and like immediately like fucking losing. I mean, I know it's like a fucking triple threat, or not triple threat, but six man tag thing. Yeah. But man, don't give him a loss. Like, he just came back. Let's give him a push. Let him get some wins.
Yep.
Kind of dropped the ball there.
They drop the ball every chance they get. I don't know. Like, I like Pac. Like, the man's been gone for what seems like almost a year. Like, why push him into a six-man tag match? Why not put him up against, you know, Roderick Strong or something for the international title? Like, something.
I mean, not to be for a title. Like,
well, I mean, yeah,
just let it could, like, be a singles like match versus match. Literally anybody. And let him win. You know?
Like, he came out and got in Okada's face on Collision. So why not just have Okada versus Pac on the show?
No, because he just got Okada. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could understand not doing that match. Like, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to have everything right away. Let fucking Pac win a few matches, and then he can go after Okada. But you can't just have him, like, come straight off the bat and lose.
I agree with that. Did he take the pin, or did somebody else take the pin?
Somebody else took the pin.
Okay. So at least he didn't get pinned. So he was just on the
list. Yeah.
Honestly, I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to that match. So, what else? The Darby Allin Jay White match was really good.
That was the match of the night.
I still say that the way that they ended this with, you know, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang breaking up, and then Darby getting his ankle smashed, which coming to find out his foot actually did get broken during that. So he has to postpone climbing Everest till next year, unfortunately for Darby. Sucks that he got injured. But the match was good. I'm not complaining about the Jay White win. I'm happy with that. I think Jay White deserves a little bit of a push too. But like I said, this should have main evented the show. Like, you could have did Rio and Willow before this match, that Sasha come out, you know, make the save, and then, you know, go from there. And then while the fans are still on that high of Mercedes coming back out, you lift them up even higher with Jay White and Darby, and then you send them home pissed off as Jay White cracks Billy Gunn in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, like, so there's a few different things they could have done. Oh, man. That's rough. But apparently, some other AEW stuff here, aside from Big Business, Matt Hardy. Contract may be coming up and possibly leaving AEW. But I think Jeff's contract got extended due to the time that he's missed for injury and rehab. What are your thoughts on that, Matt Hardy leaving?
I mean, when I think of Matt Hardy, I don't really think of like his AEW career or nothing.
I would say if because he said he doesn't plan on retiring soon, so he still wants to do some stuff for a few more years. honestly, I don't see him and Jeff getting another run in WWE. Not at this point in their careers and the way that they, as far as like their longevity goes, like I don't see them WWE. I want to oppose for an Impact run.
I don't know if you even need that. I'd say if I was them, I would just main event a bunch of indie shows. Basically that's how wrestlers develop. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are people that go to like the performance center and stuff like that, but that's how people develop is like, you know, you have a lot of young guys coming up and then you have like your older like Rock and Roll Express and other names that are kind of slipping my mind now that I'm trying to think about it. Sting was doing it for a while. You had these guys that, you know, they're going to bring a crowd to like these small indie shows. And then, you know, you showcase some of the young talent before those matches. And if I was him, he always does pretty good at like merch tables and stuff like that. So
absolutely. That's the other thing too. Like they don't have to go back and wrestle for WWE. I'm sure they could get signed to, you know, Legends or the Nostalgia deal, like in a heartbeat. WWE would be all over that Hardy's merchandise.
I could see them making like a one-off appearance or something.
Yeah. Well, I definitely see that happening. Cause you look at like the Dudley Boys, Dudley signed a Nostalgia deal. So we got new figures of the Dudleys coming out. We've got, you know, new Dudleys merch. Same with the Headbangers. Both of those teams are being put in the new 2K24 game as DLC. Upcoming DLC pack. So, I mean, why not add the Hardys into that too? Into like a Nostalgia deal. And just let WWE say, hey, we're going to put out, you know, some of your older merch. Re-release some of it. Like your vintage Hardy shirts and stuff like that. Action figures. Video games. Like there's no doubt in my mind that these guys aren't first ballot Hall of Famers when the time comes.
I don't think anybody's voting on it, but
I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
it's just like it's a no brainer to put them into the Hall of Fame for their
accomplishments. Definitely. I don't understand why they're not in there now, but
like, they're literally like rock stars when it comes to their appearances and stuff. So just one of those things, like, I don't want them to not be able to make an income somewhere. I mean, with the way that WWE is now with, you know, because, you know, back in the Attitude Era and stuff like that, they really weren't looking at the, like, the nostalgia acts or, you know, the older legends and stuff like that until, you know, the mid-2000s or a little later when they started doing that stuff. So, and you're looking at it now where these guys can go in and make money off of merchandise through these Legends deals. We'll see what happens there. So, also, rumors that AEW is interested in bringing in Shelton Benjamin.
Another one of my favorite wrestlers. Yeah, I mean, if they do something with him.
Yeah, that's my worry, is they're going to bring him in and he's going to be hot for like a week and then he's going to be on Rampage or relegated to Ring of Honor.
Or have him lose to the Elite.
Yeah. Or put in a tag team with Keith Lee. Oh man, that's like, oh, I don't know. I'd like to see Shelton in like another, somewhere else. Like, I think he'd do well in Impact. Honestly, I think he'd do well in New Japan. I don't know.
I think he should come back to WWE, take the title off of Roman.
Yeah, they should bring him back. They're trying to release him, bastards.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Shelton Benjamin is like probably one of the most like underrated wrestlers of all time, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Oh, awesome. All right. There wasn't a lot of news for Impact this week. As far as like the other promotions go, apparently WWE has struck a deal, and Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, Shayna Baszler will be appearing, actually competing. This is during WrestleMania weekend. So with GCW and the Collective, I guess there was a list of wrestlers that WWE is allowing to wrestle for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport over WrestleMania weekend.
I mean, she hadn't been doing too much here lately, so might as well let her get some kind of something out of it. Yeah.
In all honesty, this, I think, will give Shayna a chance to show people what she can actually do.
Yeah.
So,
she's one of those ones that, like, she was hype coming up out of NXT, and it's like she got to the main roster. Like, I don't know who it was that dropped the ball, but they had her lose a bunch, and then
yep.
That's the only thing. Like,
she dominated NXT.
Yeah,
and then like, you know, I know we were hype when they brought her up to the main roster, and then like she just kind of fizzled out. So, and it's just one of those things. Like, come on, dude. Like, she should have been a badass. Like, coming up to the main roster, she should have been what they did with Ronda Rousey, they should have did with Shayna. And they only did it with Ronda because of the name value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sucks. So. But props to them for making this deal with GCW, the Collective, for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. So, let's see who else they add to this lineup. So a lot of cool stuff there. All right. Let's move that from the stage, and let's go ahead and pop over to Carl's favorite segment of the week. Where's my thingy? And that's No Holds Barred. The biggest thing I've got is Neve Campbell returning for Scream 7 with the original director from the first.
Wes Craven?
No. What the hell is his name? Damn it.
I thought Wes Craven directed the first
Scream. I think he was a producer for it.
Oh, I thought he directed it.
Or it might have been the creator. Oh, man. I can't remember the show. I should have put this on here, too.
Evan, you didn't want to talk. You didn't want to talk inappropriate.
You can. I can just nod and go, okay.
No, nah, it's fine. the only thing that heartbreaking is Derrick Henry. We lost Derrick Henry to the Ravens, and the Ravens are like kind of like an arch nemesis to the Tennessee Titans, and it's like the one team I hate the most in the NFL. So just think about how you feel if your favorite player went and played for your least favorite team.
Oh man, I can imagine Dan Marino playing like, the Bills.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I can't care for my man anymore, man. Like, you know, once he goes to another team or retires, we can show him some love again. But can't wish him luck. I could thank him for the job he's done in Tennessee. But, yeah, man, sorry, dude. You went to the Ravens.
Oh, that is brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, now Scream, I don't know if I really – I don't know.
I'm
the first three – Well, no, I won't say first three. First two, and then, like, the fourth movie, I think, was pretty good.
I didn't mind six. I liked the whole, like, I liked that it was, like, the family thing. And they had that whole, like, museum-type thing set up to, like, all the killers and everything. I kind of thought that was a nice, different take on it. But with the original creator, Kevin Williamson, coming back, I'm kind of more enticed on this one, I guess.
Yeah.
Than previous ones. I feel like I could be a little bit more invested in it.
Mm.
Especially with Neve Campbell coming back. Because I think that was what the I think she was missing from the last one. It's kind of like doing Nightmare. Excuse me. It's like doing Nightmare in Elm Street without Nancy. Yeah. For all those years. And then you finally get Nancy back. And it's like, oh, sweet.
Neve Campbell was in, not the last one, but the one before that, wasn't she? Like, wasn't her and,
I thought she was in five. Because the last one, no, she wasn't in six.
Like, I don't think, like, she was, like, active in the movie, but, like, she showed back up, right? Five.
So she was in.
Because five, is that the one they killed Dewey in?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because five had her, Courtney Cox, David Arquette. So, yeah, she was in that one, but she wasn't in six.
She wasn't in six, yeah.
Yeah, there was an issue, I think, with her and the director or something that she didn't want to come back for six.
Yeah.
So they went.
I don't know what they should do the whole how. They should do the whole Halloween thing and then just start it back, like, a sequel to the original, and then have, like, Billy and Stu's grave get struck by lightning. And
they get resurrected.
They get resurrected like fucking Jason and Jason Lives or whatever. And
there's a lot of comments about bringing Stu back.
Yeah, I think that's like one of my biggest problems with five is like it, like with Billy in there, and it was like, I don't know, trying to make him a hero. Was like steep. It was kind of weird. It was like, this is kind of weird.
That's not my favorite one. I liked it, but it was definitely not my favorite of the series.
Yeah, I think the one always. Yeah, one and two, like, I really like two, you know, because it kind of played on, like, being a bad sequel.
Yeah.
Three was all right. I actually watched, like, three. I went to the movies. I think my mom went there. I remember going to the restroom, and it was, like, all quiet, and then, like, I heard, like a little bit of noise, and I kind of wanted to stick my ear up against the stall, but I couldn't because I didn't want to get stabbed.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so that's like one of the biggest things.
Was it coming out how October or something?
I don't know if they've even started filming it yet.
Yeah, but I remember the first one being like so good. I remember watching that. I actually watched it. I think I was like with my cousins, and we was watching it. I think we like went to visit my aunt. We went to visit like my aunt's best friend. I went with my cousins, and we watched that, and it was like you just try to figure out who was the murder, like who was the killer, and like there are so many like. I just remember watching it for the first time. It was so good. I figured out who the killers were. So,
well, I guess Well, shit. I guess Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are out of this one.
Oh, okay.
Melissa is out due to her statements on social media regarding the Israel-Hamas war, and Jenna Ortega exited due to scheduling conflicts. So that might be why they're going.
Neve Campbell. This
is why they got Neve Campbell back. Yeah, but there's no release date or anything. It's not. It doesn't look like it's in production yet. So it'll probably end up being like next year.
Do you guys see Ghostbusters?
It doesn't come out till next week.
Oh,
going next Sunday. I already got my tickets for it.
Why did I think it come out this week?
Oh, because Garrett was talking about the popcorn buckets.
Oh, that might have been. Might have been one.
Yeah, I got my Slimer bucket from Cinemark. The Ooh. theater down the street from your house. I stopped in there Saturday and got it. It's like, it's pretty cool. I'm trying to see if there's anything else like noteworthy.
Yeah, now you don't want to talk basketball or March Madness.
Well, sorry for our listeners. I'm not a big sports guy.
It's all good, man.
Shit. I think that's pretty much it. I think they did push up. Another movie got pushed up to October. I think it was another horror movie. I can't remember what it was, though. I don't know.
I like watching all my movies off of Tubi. I've been like...
Tubi's got some good stuff on there.
Yeah, I've been like really into their like low budget stuff. It's like pretty good.
The they have the remake of Night of the Demons on there with Shannon Elizabeth in it and Edward Furlong, which was actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I like the ones that are like bad acting.
Yeah, that's pretty much this one.
Bad graphics. Poor storyline, poor production.
Yeah. That's like 90% of the movies on Tubi. I think they had both terror movie was that Terrorizer?
They got some pretty good movies on there. Like legit movies. If you me personally I hear what happened into the low budget ones.
That one on there was another one. The other one I watch on there quite a bit is Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, okay.
Like that one. It's more of a like comedy horror movie, so it's pretty good.
Yeah. I watched the Temptations on there the other day. It was pretty good. Nobody came to see you, Otis.
Awesome stuff there. Yeah, Tubi's awesome. Whole lot of cool stuff on Tubi, like wrestling stuff, horror movies. Got the original G.I. Joe series, original Transformers.
Got the XFL starting out.
Bigfoot versus Yeti. Oh, I might have to watch that. Is the XFL starting up? I thought they merged with...
Yeah, they did. They merged with the USFL. Yeah. And so they got like two divisions now. One's like the XFL division. The other's like the USFL division. Like it's like eight teams.
So is it like NFL and like the AFL or AFC? AFC.
I don't know. I guess it'd be like division. I guess they're doing it by divisions. I'm not sure how many games or anything are in it.
Gotcha.
I'm one of the people like I watch football like regardless of who's playing and stuff. So you can be like, oh, here's some Pee Wee football. I'm like, hey, yeah, let's watch it.
Yeah.
But it was pretty. XFL is pretty good. USFL is pretty good last year. I really like the ASFL that came out like a few years ago, but it kind of folded right before COVID. But yeah, man. Pretty cool.
Nice. Oh, that's something I forgot to put in here. Let me pull this up.
My sister was telling me The Rock started SmackDown with a song that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was, I didn't see it. I think Garrett was mentioning something about it in our group chat for the Rock concert.
Yeah. I heard it was pretty good.
Boom. Here we go. GalaxyCon Rally. Got tickets, bought tickets for this already.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, pretty stacked lineup with Sam Raimi, Ron Perlman. Pretty excited for that. Linda Hamilton.
You'll get your William Shatner autograph.
I'm good with Shatner. He's there like every other year. What I'm most excited about here is the lineup they got for wrestlers this year. You got Demolition, Nick Nemeth, Kurt Angle, Eric Bischoff, and MJF so far announced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of psyched about that
one. That Nick Nemeth looks a lot like Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, a little bit. So his signature, his pricing and stuff's not bad compared to, like, I thought it would be higher. But
he's not that famous,
which isn't too bad.
50 for an autograph?
Yeah.
But that's, I don't know if I can pay that.
60 if you want to get a figure signed, though.
Like, yeah, I still don't. 50 is a lot for an autograph. Like, dude, you're $20.
Demolition was 60 to get a figure signed, because I got my classic superstars Demolition figures. So they're doing 60 on wrestling belt or figure table selfie combo.
To me it's kind of bullshit. Like, motherfucker, yeah, it should be the same price for whatever the fuck if I went to sign my dick, it should be the same fucking price.
Yeah, I don't know who started, like, I'm gonna charge you more to sign a figure thing. But I know some people do it, like Carl Weathers was doing it on the boxing gloves, just because, you know, people are turning around and reselling them. So he started charging like $300 to sign a set of boxing gloves, because that's what they were retailing for on eBay. So I don't understand, though. Because it's one thing, like, I'm not selling these. Like, you can personalize it to me too. I don't care. Like, they're staying in my collection. Like, I'm not getting rid of them. So, like, the whole point of me getting this signed is, you know, the experience of getting to meet you and talk to you. And, you know, this figure I've held on, like, these classic superstars I've had since, like, probably like 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
Because I got them when my wife and I were dating. It's like the boxes are misprinted. One of them, Smash's box. They fucked up on the box and they put an axe label on it instead of Smash. So,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm like keeping this in the, like, I kept them in the package. I thought about opening them because it just figures look really cool. Then I got the Mattel ones. It's like, all right, I don't need to open these ones. So, I mean, eventually it'll do a signing. So,
yeah. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why Cody Rhodes is like as popular as he is. Like, he's like the one dude, like, that still signs autographs for fucking free.
Yeah. Well, depending on what you do, because they had mail-ins for him through Fitterman, and I think they're like over 100 for the signing for that. So,
I'm talking about like in person.
Oh, like you catch him at a show or something.
Like WWE, like he's signed for free, and then at Big Time when he's at Big Time Wrestling, he wasn't charging for his autograph.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like you can buy like his merch and stuff at the table, but like as far as like his autograph, I feel like he didn't charge for it.
That's cool. That's why yeah, everyone loves Cody. Cody's a class act. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an amazing person as far as like what we see anyway.
I like Cody.
Big fan.
All right. I like Cody. He ain't gonna win at WrestleMania.
Oh, awesome. All right. That's pretty much all I've got for No Holds Barred. news, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't have anything else, I don't think.
All right, let's go ahead and hit it here with the best and worst of the week to close out the show. Where's my music? As far as the worst thing for me this week, the Clash of Tanks was interesting.
You went with what?
Mercedes entrance music was the worst.
Worst
thing of the week for me. Best of the week, definitely Darby and Switchblade. Hell of a match.
Yeah, I thought we were going like with the wrestlers. My worst, no, you're good. The worst of the week, I actually went with the same thing you did. I started to go with Warlow just because I get shitted on. Yeah. But I mean, him and Joe still had a pretty good match. So I decided to go with Mercedes Moné / Sasha Banks. This terrible promo, and then like her getting involved, and after she said she had unfinished business with her, it was like, didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then
I was gonna bring that up too when we were talking about it, but then it kind of slipped my mind. I didn't get that either. Like, I got unfinished business with you, Willow, but I'm gonna come up and save you from a beatdown. That's almost as good as, you know, Jeff making the save but stopping the dance on the stage.
Yeah,
Jesus.
And then same thing for the best of the week. I was gonna pick Jay White. Had a really good match for Darby. Hopefully, this is like some momentum for him. He deserves a push in AEW. So, you know, maybe him versus Eddie Kingston would be good.
Yeah, I probably like best wrestler of the week for me would probably have to be Ricochet. As far as that hit showing in that gauntlet,
yeah,
phenomenal.
Yeah, that's another one.
Huge, huge showing. Ooh, excuse me, for Ricochet. Awesome stuff there. All right, well, that's gonna do it for us. So make sure you guys check us out on our social media. Search WrestleGeddon Pod, either 1D or 2Ds. It's 1D on Twitter, 2Ds on Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestleGeddonPod with 1D. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow on all those channels. Also check out YouTube.com/ForTheCollection and check us out on there as well. You can also, it's one of the two places you can find us live every Friday at 9 o'clock on the dot. 9 o'clock ish. We'll do ish because sometimes we're late. We got kids. Yeah. So it happens. But yeah, YouTube.com/ForTheCollection. You can find us on there, and of course the Facebook page, live there every Friday night. So make sure you like and subscribe to both of those, and hit up redbubble.com/people/WrestleGeddonPod to find some of your sweet merchandise on there. Some awesome t-shirts, stickers, a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't think they've got any deals going on this week. I didn't get anything email wise from them as far as any discounts, but definitely check that out. And that's pretty much it. If you have some free time, you need something else to listen to, check out Friends of the Show, Kenny and DJ on The Call Up. You can catch them live every Thursday night on their Facebook page, Instagram, and then the Fig Cave podcast, which you can check out every week as well. We get some action figure news and all that fun stuff with the guys over there with Phil, Nick Thompson, and Tommy Paradise. A lot of good stuff there. So that's going to do it for us for this week. Appreciate you guys checking us out. We'll be back with you next week as well. We'll talk the happenings going on in the wrestling world as we continue the build up for WrestleMania, and continue to talk shit about AEW. So on behalf of myself, Chris Heat Matthews, and the Tennessee Jesus Carl Crossland, we will chat with you guys next week. Later, Marks.
Pray for Garrett.
Prayers for Garrett. Hashtag. G Money Lives.